You're listening to the most dangerous show in Texas, Fight Night, on 104.9 The Horn.
Wherever you are, however you may be listening, it is now Fight Night. Welcome to a special edition of Fight Night here on 104.9 The Horn. I'm your host, Eddie Cross. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at EddieExperience, one E in the middle. And joining me from the road this week, Mr. Jordan Wahlberger. Jordan, how you doing out there?
I'm doing great, Eddie. I am in Canada. I'm in Toronto. And you can find me on Twitter at NonstopMMA. Now, Eddie, this is a special Fight Night.
Yes, it is.
It is actually, so I know you're listening to this right now on Wednesday night, but it's actually not Wednesday night. It's Monday night. I'm up in Canada. I'm not going to be here this week. And Eddie, actually, I don't think I have seen you since the slap bet was paid off. Last week, we ended up, because of Texas basketball, we did it at separate places. The week before, I was in Florida. The week before that, I did see you that week, although I was sick. But for that, I was back in Canada. So
did I run you off?
Days, Eddie,
did I run you off by beating you up?
You did.
I'm
you
sorry,
You ran
man.
Me off by that, by the slap heard around the world.
I'm sorry.
But I'm glad, Eddie. I'm glad to be talking to you, especially after a fun night of fights, even though you crushed me.
Hey,
yes,
I did.
Ridiculously crushed me.
Yeah, I crushed you like Francis Ngannou. But before we get into that, Jordan, I got to know, did you find your key?
I did. This is actually my fourth key I've gotten at the hotel.
What are you doing?
I locked my keys in my room, and so I went downstairs and got a key. I went out to dinner, and I could not find my key. It kind of sticks to the back of my iPhone case, so I think when I took my phone out, it popped out, and I lost it somewhere else. So I had to get another key. But, Eddie, it's like 40 degrees here. I'm looking out on the lake. I guess it's Lake Ontario. From my room here. It's a beautiful. It's a little bit colder. It's like 40 degrees.
Oh, that's pretty balmy for a Canada in December, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, it gets really cold as we get to January, February. But right now we're looking like we're in pretty good shape, though. Hopefully it won't be that cold of a week this week. But I did get here today after a good day of travel. But ready to talk some fights after UFC 218, which I actually really enjoyed. I thought it was a fun night of fights.
Oh, my God. It was such a great night.
Now, not good enough, Eddie, that I could come and hang out with you and watch the fights.
Right, right.
I told you I was on a Polar Express train up in Cedar Park with the kids that kept going longer and longer. And by the time I finally got home and ready to go, the Justin Gaethje-Eddie Alvarez fight was just about to start. And I wasn't about to drive and miss that fight.
So did you find someplace closer or did you just order at home?
No, I didn't order at home. There's actually a place right around the corner from my house that shows them. It's a good bar called Top Spin right up there in Cedar Park.
Okay.
And they show the fights. They're also showing two football games on each side of the fight. So it was,
the Big Ten and ACC championships, yeah.
Yeah, it was a good experience watching all of that. So,
nice.
But no, I got there just in time. So I did miss Tisha Torres versus Michelle Waterson. What did you think of that fight?
It was a good fight, but Michelle just seemed kind of outclassed Saturday night, which kind of hurts me, but I like both these ladies. But Michelle just seemed a little outclassed. I don't know if maybe she should be fighting a weight class smaller, which she used to in Invicta. She was the atomweight champ, which is 105 pounds. But yeah, she was just kind of bullied around the octagon.
Yeah, so what does that do? So you mentioned that, you know, she should fight at a lower weight class. We know that in the UFC there's not a lower weight class. She was at 105 pounds, the atomweight before, right?
Right.
So she really can't go back and fight at atomweight. She has good wins. You know, she beat Paige VanZant, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you wonder what's next for Michelle Waterson.
I'm guessing it'll be someone along the lines of Felice Herrig, who also won this weekend. A kind of a split decision over Courtney Casey. And let's talk about that one.
Don't you think that Felice Herrig is a lot bigger than Michelle Waterson as well?
You know what? It's kind of hard to judge just from my vantage. But in my head, I wouldn't think so. But she should be a little bit taller, though. I can't really tell. She's not that bulky, though. Tisha Torres is very muscular.
Yeah, and she gets the win. I don't think it's going to put her up in the, you know, I'm going to fight Rose or Joanna. Maybe a fight against Claudia Gadelha, who is coming off a loss, Right. But, or you could do a fight against Jessica Andrade. And that'd be a fun fight. And, you know, because I don't think that Andrade is going to get that title fight against Rose Namajunas.
Right. And it would be the most muscles ever in the strawweight division.
That would be true. So, Eddie, did you get a chance to watch the prelims, though? Did you watch Yancy Medeiros versus Alex Oliveira? All I heard, I had multiple people texting me that this fight between Yancy Medeiros and Alex Oliveira was, I mean, it was crazy. Did you watch that fight?
Oh, man, I caught it just as it was kind of in the middle of it, because our normal bar was apparently bought out by the Ohio State alum. So we had to switch up, and I caught it in the middle of the fight. But what I did see was nuts. I can't give you a blow-by-blow, but, oh, man, it was just back and forth. And those guys deserve their bonuses.
Yeah, you've got to think that Yancy Medeiros is going to be ranked coming out of this fight now. I mean, he's looked good. I believe Alex Oliveira was ranked prior to that as well. So if you have that and you have that win over, you know, over Alex Oliveira in that sort of a way, he was ranked 15th before. You would think that Yancy Medeiros gets up in the top 15. But if they're also making a case to bring the UFC to Hawaii, and we'll get to Max Holloway a little bit later, but they want to go to Hawaii, and you would think that with a couple top, you know, you have the featherweight champion and a top 15 welterweight, you could really get a co and a main event getting ready.
And a couple of ladies, too. So, yeah, they're apparently, I think Holloway said they have 12 to 15 fighters that could be on that card.
Yeah,
and including a featherweight title fight.
Yep, Travis Brown. The problem with Hawaii is that you don't have a good enough arena to hold, you know, enough people. So that's the one problem there. So let's jump back up though, Eddie, to the main card. Eddie Alvarez versus Justin Gaethje. Now we had Justin Gaethje on the show last week. I picked Justin Gaethje. You picked Eddie Alvarez. This was going to be not for the lightweight title. This was going to be for who is the most violent man. And both guys really proved that they could go toe-to-toe with each other. I mean, Justin Gaethje and those vicious leg kicks that he just attacked Eddie Alvarez in the legs. And Eddie Alvarez just took them, and he kept returning. And that big, like, that bruise or that bump on Eddie Alvarez's face at the end of the second round. I saw someone put a meme of making him with, like, a Popeye hat and pipe.
Nice.
And it looked like he had spinach out in the side of his in the side of his mouth. But Eddie Alvarez just proved how tough he was. And that knee that Justin Gaethje took to the head, where he slumps over and then trying to get up and just rolls and just kind of falls back down on his face. The fight was very good. It was incredible. And, you know, Eddie Alvarez proves how tough he is. But Justin Gaethje, man, he proves that, you know, that he belongs in the upper echelon of the division. And just coming in as the World Series of Champion, getting a win over Michael Johnson, and now putting up that kind of performance against Eddie Alvarez, how do you think Justin Gaethje comes back after getting his first loss?
Well, let me first say, I think Eddie Alvarez was insulted by all the press that Gaethje was getting, because when he came to the UFC, he was that guy. He had all the crazy wars in Bellator, the underground king, you know, won all these different championships, and then he comes into the UFC and kind of hits a little bit of a road bump. You know, but he started like way at the top. And then Gaethje comes in kind of the same way and gets someone who most people felt was more of a 12 to 15 ranked fighter who was overranked. So I think he was a little insulted. So he really wanted that title of the UFC's most violent fighter. And he fought in a way that we hadn't seen him fight in a little while.
So that surprises me. So do you think that you still think that Justin Gaethje doesn't belong in the top, you know, five in the lightweight division?
Top five?
Yeah. So you've got Tony Ferguson, Habib, Edson Barbosa, Eddie Alvarez, Justin Gaethje. Then you go Nate Diaz, Dustin Poirier, Kevin Lee, Michael Chiesa, Al Iaquinta.
You know, I'd keep him at five. Okay, I was just saying Michael Johnson, when he fought, was ranked like seventh, and everyone pretty much thought that. That was way higher than he should have been. So it kind of gave Gaethje more of a shine than it would have been if Michael Johnson was ranked where he is now at number 11. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, Michael Johnson not even in the lightweight division anymore. But Eddie Alvarez, and we're not the first person to say this, but, you know, Eddie Alvarez has wins. Justin Gaethje, World Series of Fighting champion.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Pettis, UFC champion, Rafael Dos Anjos, UFC. Gilbert Melendez. Strikeforce champion.
Don't forget, Pettis was also the WEC champion.
Yep, long-term Michael Chandler, long-term Bellator champion. Shinya Aoki, long-time, you know, Dream champion. I mean, this guy has now just put up wins over former champions of really every single major organization. And it really just proves that, you know, although, you know, he did lose to Conor last year at the Garden, he is still one of the great lightweights that we have, and definitely one of the toughest.
Possibly of all time, yeah. And it's a shame that people don't really, a lot of people don't really understand his history. So they just see what he's done in the UFC and then kind of his quick rise and quick fall. But Eddie Alvarez, man, there's a reason they call him the Underground King.
Yeah, no, I agree. Now, what do you want to do next with Eddie Alvarez? A lot of people are asking for that rematch against Dustin Poirier. We know that fight happened earlier this year. I think it was in Dallas, right?
Yeah, it was in Dallas at 211.
There was the illegal knee happened in the second round. Poirier, he's been walking around like it was a victory. Eddie Alvarez is talking that he felt that Dustin Poirier wanted to get out of there and he could have continued. Do you think that's a fight to make next for both these guys?
I definitely think that's a fight to make next. You know, I know Poirier considers that a win for him already, so he might be a little hesitant. But Alvarez is still ranked above him. So if he wants to keep climbing up to the title, it's probably something he'll have to do anyway.
Yeah.
Alvarez, you know, Conor, we have no idea if he's ever going to fight again. Tony Ferguson, he's kind of waiting for the Conor fight.
The winner, Khabib versus Edson.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's probably
to be honest.
Yeah, that's probably next. So what's Eddie going to do?
Yeah, no, I think I agree. He's not going to fight Nate Diaz. I think a fight with Dustin Poirier is the right fight to have. But the flip side is Justin Gaethje. And I think a great fight for Justin Gaethje next would be against Kevin Lee.
I was thinking the exact same thing.
There. Kevin Lee wanted to be on the Ultimate Fighter. He's been talking about Justin Gaethje before. They're both coming off high-profile losses. I think Justin Gaethje versus Kevin Lee, at some point, that's got to be the next fight you make. Justin Gaethje obviously needs some time to recover from that fight.
As does Alvarez.
That's the fight I want to see.
Yeah, and you look at the rankings, you can just pretend like Nate Diaz isn't there.
Yeah, no, I agree. So just quickly on Henry Cejudo versus Sergio Pettis, it wasn't a very exciting fight, Eddie.
No, that's exactly what I thought was going to happen.
Yeah, but it just really showed what high-level wrestling and fundamentals can do. The wrestling of Cejudo was just too much. And an example, I think it was in that second or third round, Cejudo's going for a takedown, and he grabs Pettis' leg, and he can't get him up, and so he just kind of wrenches it higher and higher and takes him down.
Yeah.
And that was just, you could see the frustration on Pettis that he just couldn't answer back to the takedowns of Cejudo and the wrestling of Cejudo. But before the fight, Eddie, you and I both said that either Cejudo or Pettis needed to have a statement win in order to kind of dethrone TJ Dillashaw from fighting Demetrius Johnson.
Right.
And that just didn't happen. And
it was actually it brought out the Boo Birds in Detroit.
Yeah, no, they were definitely booing out there. And neither of those fighters, I mean, obviously, they're not going to do Henry Cejudo versus Demetrius Johnson. But I think even after the fight, Henry Cejudo said, look, he wasn't that interested in fighting Demetrius Johnson next. And he was glad that they might be doing a fight between TJ Dillashaw and him. You know, that gives him more time. And I mean, I'm sure Henry Cejudo would love to get that win against Benavidez when he comes back from his injury.
And with a win like that, he would really stake his claim as to being the next guy in line after the proposed Dillashaw match, which apparently is going to happen.
Yeah. So, yeah, Dana White says it's happening, and so, you know, we'll see.
Yeah.
But let's get to the co-main event of the evening, and probably one of the greatest images I've ever seen from a fight. You think back in like, classic pictures. One of them reminds me is, you know, the Anderson Silva front leg kick on Vitor Belfort. That kick that just kind of went right into his mouth, that was a classic picture. The picture of Francis Ngannou right after he throws that punch and Alistair Overeem's head just cocked backwards is just an example of how violent this sport can be and just how brutal. And I saw the UFC asking for, you know, their fans to describe Francis Ngannou in one word.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people put beast, you know, champion. He's scary, though, man. Ngannou is just scary.
Yeah, you know what? You know what that picture reminded me of? Mike Tyson's punch out.
Yeah, either like Street Fighter or something like that.
No, just like if you just Google Glass Joe knockout right now, you will see a picture of a fighter just like that with his arm raised to the ceiling and Glass Joe's face just like stretched backwards. I mean, that's exactly what it looked like. A friend of mine said it looked fake and real at the same time. I'm like, well, that's kind of a perfect thing. Yeah. It's like a video game.
Not,
that should not happen to the human body.
And what do you think about the way that Alistair Overeem came out of the fight? You know, it's like he immediately attacked right as the, you know, that opening bell hit. And, you know, you thought he was just trying to get in there and try to get and pressure Ngannou. We wanted to see if he could get him down and what he would do after that.
Well, I thought it was pretty smart because either you get him down and you see if he's got a ground game, if he can get off his back, or you try to tire out his arms against the cage, which is what I thought he was trying to do. And neither one of them worked.
Yeah. So you go back and you look at the last four losses previous to Ngannou for Overeem. He got KO'd by Stipe Miocic. He got TKO'd by Ben Rothwell. He got KO'd by Travis Brown. KO'd by Antonio Silva. So he does have a history of getting knocked out. But I don't care who you are. If you're Overeem, Arlovski, Kane, Stipe, whoever it is, you are going down to that shot. The way that placement hit,
yeah,
and the power that was behind it, I don't care if you have a history of getting knocked out or you don't at all. If you get touched like that by Ngannou, you're going to get knocked out.
And the thing that most people don't bring up when they talk about it is the speed that he threw that punch with. I mean, it was a flash.
It's like he came out of almost a clinch where they were close and he backed up and like almost from a counter and just destroyed Overeem.
And it was like all arm. He didn't even step into it. And it was kind of a, it was like between a hook and an uppercut. I heard it described as a, kind of a shovel punch. But it came from low and out of nowhere and just so fast. And you combine that with his apparently world record punching power. Holy crap.
Yeah, now we know that Stipe and Ngannou are going to face off for the heavyweight title. We don't know the exact date when it's going to happen.
Right.
But we know it's going to happen next. I mean, if he touches him, he's going out. I mean, this is going to be a great story. I mean, even Stipe, you know, on I think it was today, he threw some shade, you know, on Ngannou with just the tweet and still. I mean, that's a great fight. I cannot wait to see that fight happen.
Yeah, same here. I'm just hoping it doesn't kind of turn out like the Cormier Rumble fights, where you take someone with such great knockout power and you negate it all just by smothering and wrestling. That's the way that Stipe wins that fight. Because, you know, Stipe, there have been some great funny tweets, and they're hilarious, talking about Stipe's reaction. Like, oh, Stipe just changed his number. Stipe's wife just made him retire.
He just entered the Bellator heavyweight tournament.
Yes. But, you know, Stipe's sitting there going, well, yeah, I did that first. Because he also knocked out Alistair Overeem in the first round. Now, it wasn't as scary, but it was. He did knock him out cold.
It's true. All right, Eddie, the main event of the evening, which was a great fight. It was a very good fight. I texted you right after the end of the first round where you had Max taunting Jose Aldo. And I just was like, I don't like it. I thought that Aldo looked better than he looked in that previous fight. I knew that Max had been, you know, had been the aggressor. But I thought that Aldo looked good, and I thought that trying to do too much, that's who did you reference that it looked like to me?
Oh, what did I say?
You sent me a tweet back or a text back about, you know, someone about their fall right before, you know, when they have those issues or when they're taunting people. But either way, Eddie, I mean, Max Holloway.
Oh, yeah, I said it was like a NOS commercial. Like
yeah,
that energy drink where the guy's like taunting.
And then he gets knocked out. And so you've got to be careful when you're going up against someone like a Jose Aldo because you never know.
And Aldo looked good. Like you said, he was fast and he was touching Holloway pretty good.
Yeah, no, I agree. I thought it was actually a pretty close fight until, you know, midway during the second round. You really saw Max Holloway start opening up and just continue to get those strikes to the body. And just wore him down. He literally just wore him down. And that could be part to the weight cut, that it was a quick camp because he was supposed to fight 2 weeks later, so he had to shorten that camp and get that weight off.
Mm-hmm.
But Max Holloway, he really proved that at 25 years old, he's only getting better. And I think now he's ripped off a 12-fight win streak. And that last loss that he has, we know that's to Conor McGregor, who he may never get that back. But you know, Max Holloway, he looks to be, you know, who is going to be in the featherweight division that's going to be able to fight him. I don't even know if Frankie Edgar is going to get that title fight opportunity now. Because Cub Swanson is fighting Brian Ortega next week,
mm-hmm.
he may skip Frankie Edgar.
It's possible. Now, Cub is on the last fight of his contract, and they do have him fighting younger guys. So it almost seems like they've got him in gatekeeper status, hoping someone can jump him. And I know in my heart I'm pulling for Cub because he deserves his shot finally. But who knows?
Yeah, the good thing about the last fight on the contract is that if he does beat Brian Ortega this week, he would be set up to sign a new contract though and get that title shot. So
yeah.
It's not like I understand that's why they didn't give it to him on this title fight, because you can't win the title and then be off a contract. But he's in a perfect place that if he does win this week, he's at a sweet spot where he can sign a new contract with them, and in that contract get that fight for the title. So, but anything else you wanted to highlight on Max Holloway's performance?
And Max Holloway, the one thing that people haven't given him enough credit for is his chin. You know, because it's not like, you know, he never got touched. Aldo was hitting him lots. And there were even a couple of times where you have some great photos of it, where they hit each other at the same time, Rocky style. You know, it was back and forth, and Aldo was hitting him pretty good. But Holloway's chin held up, and he just walked through those punches like a wrestler, no selling. You know, so yeah, that's the other thing. Holloway's chin is up there with the best right now.
Yeah, I thought so too. And you've got to think that whoever he fights next, he's going to be a big favorite. Obviously, we'd love to see Conor McGregor, who actually threw some more shade at Max Holloway after the fight by putting up a picture of him from the first fight that said, "Oh, I miss those sunglasses." And it's a battered Max Holloway in a wheelchair, it almost looks like. And you see Conor McGregor in the back, you know, with sunglasses on. And then Max Holloway, you know, comments right back at him saying, you know, retired fighters always like to live in the past. But, you know, overall, Eddie, I think that UFC 218, it was a great night of fights. We thought it was going to be a fun night. And I think it really delivered.
I think it really did, too. And you also had a quote-unquote blood booger thrown. So there's that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I did hear about that. Now,
and that was from the ladies.
Did you hear, Eddie, about this guy from the Detroit Free Press? Now, everyone is entitled to their own opinion, but
not their own facts, though.
Yeah, Carlos Monarez for the Detroit Free Press. He this is his title of his article he wrote. And he was cageside. UFC 218 in Detroit lacked great fights, novel production, and was underwhelming. I don't understand how he's going to say that it was underwhelming. I personally thought that, and I'm pretty critical at times, I thought it was a fun night of fights. And he said, here it is, Dana White, if you're going to bring a UFC event back to Detroit, you've really got to bring it. Come big or don't come at all. He said that they got one measly title fight.
Yeah,
and he was talking about how George St. Pierre and UFC 213 got three title fights. And he says, and they got one measly title fight, and it wasn't much of a fight at all. I mean, I don't understand, and this might be a hot take, and if there's a lot of Detroit listeners out there, you are in Detroit. Detroit is the 13th ranked media market. It is not New York, which is the number one ranked market. It is not number two, which is Los Angeles, Chicago, Philadelphia, Dallas. You are behind Tampa, St. Petersburg. You're behind Phoenix when it comes to a media market. So, Carlos, I don't understand how you're saying that you want them to really bring it or don't come at all.
This was one of the best cards of the year.
It was a very good card.
Yeah.
Say that Detroit is some media market where we need to bring our best fights. It just is not.
Yeah, and I tweeted back at the Free Press yesterday. I said, told them that having this little knowledge about a sport you're supposedly covering is inexcusable. This writer is either biased or just plain ignorant. He should be permanently assigned to covering ribbon cuttings and pets and trees.
Yeah, I get that. And it did sound like he didn't know what he was talking about. My
Obviously.
Only thought was, again, this is Detroit. No one is clamoring to go to Detroit. This is not a destination location.
Yeah, the only people that really wanted to fight in Detroit were the people from Michigan.
Yeah.
And that's two people.
Kevin Lee, he would have loved to.
Yeah, and Tony Ferguson.
Man.
Yeah.
And I get that there was not any Detroit luminaries. And there are Detroit luminaries, Eminem, Kid Rock.
He's like, oh, there were no Lions there. Well, they got a game on Sunday. How about that?
Yeah. But, yeah, he complained that, you know, Cejudo versus Sergio Pettis, we get it. We get that people boo. that during fights. That happens everywhere. It happens in New York. It happens in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
I think people got their money's worth. And I can't imagine that this guy is the voice of Detroit.
It's like the sports editor just opened his door and said, who wants to watch a fight? And the first guy that raised his hand got it, as opposed to someone actually knowledgeable about the sport on staff.
So, anyways, Eddie, that kind of stuff obviously drives me crazy. You're entitled to free press. You're entitled to your opinion. I frankly disagree with it.
Yeah, but just have some knowledge about what you're saying. That's all.
Yeah.
And then have an opinion.
Eddie, Friday night, the night before, we had a new women's flyweight champion, Nico Montaigne.
Man, was I surprised.
She fought Roxanne Modafferi. And you actually were going to pick Roxanne, and then Cesari Eubanks, right? She beats her at the Tough Ultimate Finale. Day of weigh-ins, she is admitted to the hospital. Can't fight. Roxanne, she steps in, and she fights Nico Montaigne.
Yeah, and
I have a hard time getting up for this.
You know, it was a good fight, though. And did you watch it at all?
No, not at all. And I can't imagine that many people would have watched this at all either. And this has got to be the lowest viewed UFC title fight ever. Because people don't care. And we all just see this as someone who's going to lose their next fight to Valentina Shevchenko.
Well, if you notice, the UFC, if you watched it, the UFC had it in a much smaller arena than normal.
Yep.
I forget what casino they were at, but it was at the theater. It was like the Park Casino, I think.
Yeah, I don't know where that is.
But it seemed like the seats were right on top of the cage. Like even as they went up into the rafters, they were like right on top of the cage. So it was a pretty decent atmosphere. But yeah, you kind of knew what you're in for in that one.
My highlight, obviously, Sean O'Malley, who I saw fight at the Contender Series.
Oh man,
I was just glad to see Sean O'Malley get back in there.
That was a good fight. If you didn't see that fight, O'Malley was impressive. It seemed like he definitely realized he took a step up in competition as opposed to his consistent first-round knockouts. But he was able to pull out a second win in that third round. Because I gave him the first round. He lost the second. But he came out and really won that third round. And that kid's going to be good.
That's great. Eddie, and then I did not watch Bellator, but I do know that Julia Budd retained her featherweight title. Anything else on that we should know about Bellator?
I kept my finger on the fast forward button, but yeah, it was a split decision, maybe a little controversial, but it was pretty close. That's all I got for you.
All right, Eddie. Yeah. Well, that is the recap of last week.
Take us out.
We're gonna come back. We've got some news. And then we're going to talk about UFC Fresno this week. Guys, you're listening to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn and hornfm.com. We will be right back.
Well, sit on down and tell me what up with that. Ooh-wee. What up with that? What up with that? Ooh-wee. What up with that? What up with that? He said, she said, we said, he said, what up with that? Who knew you knew, said what, who knew, what up with that? What up with that? Yes,
sir. All right, Jordan, as much as I want to ask you about Saturday Night Live, we are running short on time, so we're going to just jump right into it. All right.
I'm ready.
We knew GSP didn't want to go to Australia, but now we're looking like he's definitely not going. What's up with that?
Yeah, Eddie, I said this a few weeks ago. There is no way that George St. Pierre's going to be defending the middleweight title in Australia. And now it turns out that he definitely won't be because he's suffering with a bout of colitis. Now, colitis is an inflammation of the colon. It can cause, you know, pain in your stomach, cramps, even diarrhea. And so, you know, he's suffering from that right now. He's got to figure out what's going on with his colon. It happened when he came back from vacation. You know, maybe a colonoscopy is probably in the future for George St. Pierre right now, but going to Perth is not going to happen. All right. So you would think that Robert Whittaker, if he's going to defend his title in Perth, not going to be against him. Maybe Kelvin Gastelum gets his wish. Maybe Luke Rockhold, he gets a title fight opportunity. But it's not going to be George St. Pierre.
Yeah, we knew it was possible to have some kind of adverse reactions to having to pack on the pounds the way he did. So I guess we found out what they are. Yeah. Next up, sticking with the old guys, Anderson Silva. He wants to make a little change. What's up with that?
Yeah, Anderson Silva is still talking about boxing Roy Jones Jr. And now Roy Jones Jr. is just saying the same thing. He's almost 50, and he still says he wants to have that fight with Anderson Silva. And Anderson says, well, he's got to go through some legal issues with USADA and figure out what's going on there. But in the meantime, he would love to still box him. Now, I'm not sure if Anderson Silva understands how commissions work. If you're going through some sort of testing or some through appeals process through USADA, they're probably not going to license you to box Roy Jones Jr. So unless this is going to happen in some non-sanctioned event, this is not happening, Eddie. Anderson Silva probably going to get suspended for 3 or 4 years, right?
Right.
By that time, there's going to be no opportunity to box Roy Jones Jr., even though this has been talked about for years and years, way before McGregor Mayweather. Roy Jones Jr., Anderson Silva, not happening, in my opinion, although they want to do it.
Well, maybe they can do it in Japan.
not with the UFC's blessing.
Yeah, no. And while we're on the subject of Roy Jones Jr., this just in, Roy Jones Jr. Boxing Promotions, along with Underwood Promotions, are partnering up Friday night at the Round Rock Sports Center for the NABF Super Flyweight Championship, Aston Palique versus Jose Alfredo Rodriguez. So this will be on BN Sports. Doors open at 6. First bout's at 7. First TV bout at 8 o'clock. This is in Round Rock this Friday night.
Roy Jones Jr. will be in Round Rock.
Roy Jones Jr. Promotions. I don't know if Roy Jones himself will be there, but his company is hosting an event at the Round Rock Sports Center. Tickets start at $30.
Okay, very
interesting. If you want us to catch some fights, maybe a cheap Christmas present for someone who likes to fight, go out to the Round Rock Sports Center. All right. Next up, Donald Cerrone may be making another move. What's up with that?
Yeah, Eddie, Donald Cerrone, who every time he fights out there, he just brings it. He's decided that he wants to make the move back to lightweight. We've known that he's fought at lightweight before. He was he was disciplined, but he just couldn't get to that upper level, and he couldn't win the big fight when it came to, fighting at lightweight. And so he moved it to welterweight. He's had some success, but he's decided that it's time to go back and fight back at lightweight. He walks around at 175 pounds. He's coming off 3 losses, the Masvidal, Lawler, and Darren Till fight. So he wants to come back and fight at 155 pounds. I would love to see him back there. And I think, you put him with a scrap and anyone in the top 10, that'd be a fun fight too.
Oh, definitely. And oh my God. Dude, my pants just got tighter.
That's from all the food you've been eating.
Yeah, that's what I meant. And like I said earlier, we could just erase Nate Diaz being number 6 in the lightweight division, since he's not really there. So Cerrone obviously jumps right back in as a top 10 guy.
Yep.
So yeah, and that would be, oh man, I don't know how long Gaethje's going to be suspended medically, but that would be a perfect fight. Now, speaking of suspensions, Greg Hardy's back in the fight news. What's up with that?
Man, Eddie, it is only a matter of time before Greg Hardy goes into an upper-level promotion. He got his second win. His first win, he got a 32-second victory in his amateur bout debut. This next one, he spent 3 times more, so 96 seconds. He stopped Kenneth Woods at Rite of Passage 2 in Bossier City, Louisiana. Our good friend Peppermint Fatty James McDaniels, he was at the fight this weekend. But Greg Hardy, that's now 2 TKO victories in just 2 months. The guy is going to build up a resume. I wouldn't be surprised if you see him in Bellator, by the end of next year.
Hopefully he goes through Titan or Legacy first and actually has some higher level competition. But either way, you're right. We're going to see him somewhere, and it won't be too long.
Legacy would actually probably make sense, being that it's right around here.
Very true. Very true. How about some new fights?
All right, Eddie, I know you've been excited to hear about these new fights. We've talked about Ben Wynn versus Jussier Formiga. That's happening at UFC 221. But the fights that I want to tell you about the most, I think you'll be excited. Derek Lewis is fighting Marcin Tybura at heavyweight.
Oh, say it.
I know you're excited there.
Say it. Where are they fighting? Where are they fighting?
Oh, I just told you, Austin, Texas.
Oh, you left that. You left the Austin part out.
Yeah, no, I didn't.
Yeah, February 18th at the Irwin Center.
Brandon Moreno also fighting on that fight card. And then finally, Eddie, this is a great fight. Jeremy Stephens versus Du Ho Choi at UFC St. Louis.
Oh, man.
So I'm sure there's going to be some more fights announced this week, but that's what we got right now. Those are some fun fights, man, and that is what's up with that.
And if you want to keep up with what else is going to be announced this week, follow us on Twitter, at Eddie Experience, at Nonstop MMA, at Fight Night ATX. And that's what's up with that. This is Fight Night. You're listening to 104.9 The Horn. It is fight night again. UFC Fresno coming to you Saturday night. Cub Swanson versus Brian Ortega in the main event. Jordan, tell me your excitement level for this one.
Well, I'm excited in patches, all right? I'm excited for Cub Swanson. I'm excited for Brian Ortega.
Kind of like your beard?
I think that's gonna... What's that?
I said kind of like your beard in patches.
Kind of like my beard. It's very spotty, Eddie. It's very spotty. I'm excited for that fight. I'm excited for Aljamain Sterling versus Marlon Moraes.
Mm-hmm.
Marlon Moraes stepping in on short notice. That's an exciting fight. He's a former World Series of Fighting champion. He just fought last November. He beat John Dodson by split decision. That's going to be a fun fight. Aljamain Sterling, I don't think we haven't seen Aljamain Sterling. He hasn't fought back since July when he got a victory over Henan Barral. That should be a fun fight. You have had high hopes, Eddie, for Aljamain Sterling to fight in just to be a top of the bantamweight division.
Yeah, I thought he'd be the champion by this time. Yeah. I picked him last year to be the champ this year. Did not happen.
You were definitely high on him, but I've got to be excited about this main event. You know, Cub Swanson coming off a win over Artem Lobov, Du Ho Choi, Tatsuya Kawajiri, Hakran Diaz. His last loss to Max Holloway and Frankie Edgar. That fight, Frankie Edgar, Austin, Texas. Brian Ortega, he's coming off. He's still undefeated. He's got a no contest based on he had a submission win that he was overturned for testing positive, but he's got wins. This is obviously his biggest step up in competition. But Brian Ortega, he is a jiu-jitsu master, and so this should be a very fun fight. Even his name was thrown around as somebody who could fight against Max Holloway at UFC 218. So that's how high the UFC is on Brian Ortega.
They must like man buns.
But Cub Swanson on his last fight of his contract. So this is going to be a fun fight. They're both going out to win, and there's a lot riding at stake. My only fear, Eddie, last time we had a lot riding at stake for Cub Swanson, that was in Austin when he lost to Frankie Edgar.
Yep. And that was a fight that we both thought that maybe he shouldn't have taken. He should have just waited for the title shot, and he didn't, and he paid for it.
And that's the problem, though, sometimes, is that you never know if it's going to be, if you're going to get that title shot. And
so
who knows? Something could have happened.
Yeah, and between the two of them, though, they've got 6 Fight of the Night bonuses.
Yeah.
No, 4 for Cub, 2 for Brian.
Also on the fight card, Eddie, you've got Jason Knight. He's a fun fighter. He's put some good finishes on before. Eric Anders, I know you're not a big fan of him based on what he did to the University of Texas when he was at Alabama. But
why you got to bring that up?
I'm sorry, but he's someone... You know, at least Texas is going to be playing a bowl game. BYU, we will not be in a bowl game.
You know, earlier you just told everyone almost where you live, and now you're trolling UT. That's not a good look, dude.
Well, no, I'm just saying. Eric Anders, he is a beast in the ring, but, you know, we'll see. Hopefully this week we can see a good fight from him. But hey, that's not even the most fight I'm excited for this weekend.
Alexis Davis versus Liz Carmouche?
I'm not excited for that either. I'm actually excited for a boxing fight that's happening on ESPN after the Heisman Award
winner
is announced. Yep, Vasyl Lomachenko versus Guillermo Rigondeaux. And so this is the first time that two-time gold medal winners face off against each other. Rigondeaux, he is undefeated. Lomachenko is just a beast. Lomachenko is a little bit of ties to MMA. TJ Dillashaw, he trains with him. Lomachenko offered up his services after Malignaggi left Conor McGregor's camp.
Okay.
But, you know, these guys are two of possibly the greatest amateurs of all time. And Lomachenko is right up there at the top of, the top of the boxing world. I mean, the guy is a beast. He's a knockout artist. This is a fight that's free on ESPN. I'm really excited for this fight.
Nice. I am proud of you for going outside your UFC big fight bubble. Yeah. And while we're at it, speaking of outside the UFC big fights, Saturday night, Bellator 190. They have the middleweight championship is being attested between Rafael Carvalho and Alessio Sakara, who you remember was in the UFC for like 8 years.
Yep.
All the way back to like UFC 55 or 54.
So this is the middleweight title. So the winner is obviously going to fight Gegard Mousasi.
Oh, is that who it is?
Yeah, I mean, because you have Diego Lima versus Rory McDonald. They're fighting on January 20th for the welterweight title. And I know that Rory, while he would like to go up and fight against the middleweight title, I think that Gegard Mousasi is going to get that next shot before Rory McDonald will get a chance to have two title belts.
And hopefully at some point we'll get that Rory versus Gegard fight.
And hopefully we get that Rory versus Fedor in the Bellator heavyweight tournament.
The Bellator is like a video game right now. You can just like throw in whoever against whoever.
It's kind of fun.
It's actually fun.
It's going to be interesting.
Yeah. And apparently that's the way that Bellator is kind of doing things these days. But it's fun. I think it's just the matchups you can make.
Yeah, no, you've got to have fun and you've got to make it fun. And Bellator does that, especially when you have something like this heavyweight tournament. And, we've talked about this over the last couple of weeks. I'm excited. I'm excited to see this tournament. It's going to be a good place to go.
And while they're at it, there's also Bellator kickboxing that night, too, with two championships on the line. And Joe Schilling. So there you go.
Okay.
It's a good night. It's a good weekend to watch people get punched in the face, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, there's some good, especially, now that, college football, we've got a little bit of break until the bowl games. But, Eddie, I think it's time. I think we should make some picks and wind this down.
I think you're right. Now, let's see. We're going to start off with the greatest rivalry in sports. You know what that is, don't you, Jordan? It's not BYU-Utah.
It is not BYU-Utah. It is not Texas-Oklahoma. It's got to be Army-Navy.
That's the one. Coming to you from Philadelphia, Saturday afternoon, Army versus Navy. Who you got?
Well, have you seen those Blue Angel jerseys that Navy's going to be wearing this week?
I have not yet.
Yeah,
Tweet that out.
I like those jerseys. Check them out. I'm going to go with Navy, though. I think they're wearing special jerseys, and, you get special jerseys, you get the win.
Well, that's one way of looking at it. I'm looking at it as Army has been on such a roll lately. They even won last year. So that's the direction I'm going with Army. All right.
Okay.
Now to Bellator. Carvalho versus Sakara.
Carvalho.
I am also taking Rafael Carvalho.
Okay.
All right. On to the UFC. Marlon Moraes versus Aljamain Sterling. I think you know which way I'm going.
I'll go Aljo as well.
All right. You got to stop copying me. And finally, the main event, UFC Fresno. We've got Cub Swanson versus Brian T-City Ortega. Where are you going?
I'm going to go T-City, Eddie.
Okay, I can't go for a man guy with a man bun, so I'm going Cub. And we're out of here. Good night.
Happy trails to you till we meet again.